Now, every station, even the ones with current surpluses, will have to look at cost reduction planning. And we're in the middle of doing that. And I think we talked about coming back with mid-year. We're at that point talking to each station about what it's going to take. Make those mid-year adjustments. We'll be bringing you back in a week and a half to 2 weeks. I'll be ready at the next Finance Committee meeting about how to bring stations that need cost reductions back into line, serving that one-month operator. Sum up. Because we have reduced legal, oh, election plan, get a buy, offsets the revenue. Have elections again, back into a higher slope. So, I think that we on the Finance Committee, given the fiscal plan issues, given the flat revenue issues, our fundraising strategies, have to put the brain power that's on this committee to work on those issues. We stations which have traditionally been sources of the revenue are starting not to be able to be those cash cows for the network in terms of on-air revenue. And we need the best thinking, and we've got plenty of good thinking around what to do, because every station has high costs and inevitable expenses that will happen whether we plan for them or not. So I'm hopeful that we on the committee can look at large dollar, sustainable, replicatable monies that can ensure that we have that our future will be in place in the face of an aging listenership and the rest I've cited here. It is, I think, the single greatest financial challenge face. So.
Okay, thank you.
This is Casey.
Casey?
I'm sorry to interrupt, and I apologize to everyone, but I'm 15 minutes late for a presentation to Human Relations Commission, so I have to go, but I promise it won't happen again, and I'm sorry.
Okay,
Lavarne?
Yeah, I will, let me go back upstairs, and, okay, I'll pick up right now.
Okay,
thank you very
Lavarne.
Much, I'm sorry. Okay, bye.
Okay, so Mike had some issues, and I think we should respond to what Lonnie's laid out and then deal with the review of the financials. So, Mike, you had...
I had a question for Lonnie as to whether there's, in the context of your report, is there going to be a windfall because we don't have elections this year?
As I was mentioning, we're still paying for elections from last fiscal. In fact, elections came in $50,000 higher than budget. And I simply haven't paid it.
You budgeted at 350 something like that, as I recall from. I just looked at it a minute ago, and you're saying it's coming in around 400.
Yeah, it's going up because we get the bill and it's higher than anticipated. We start arguing with those folks and negotiating, but they're standing firm, and I may be able to negotiate a discount, but it's cash out the door in any eventuality.
Well, my question is, though, for purposes of developing 2006 budget, without that burden of an election, obviously there was some income to pay for these elections in the past. I mean, has there been any discussion about the potential windfall that may create and how that affects your overall strategic planning?
Well, there was actually no money. The amount that we thought the elections would cost was, one-third of what they actually cost. So... stations were going by their experience with previous elections, but we were starting out with a budget for elections about $120,000. Well, that proved to be woefully inadequate. So there's no windfall. Where there is a windfall is that the enormous legal bills after this year, $300,000, we're paying off. Next year, those bills won't be there, and that will be helpful to us.
Lonnie, I had a question. When the point you made about the salaries and benefits. So back in the mid-90s, the reason many of us objected to the implementation of that Healthy Station Project model, the change in the model of production, was exactly because it starts you down this path of always needing to increase revenue. So in many places, you don't actually have marked increases in listenership. So, but you do have marked increases in donation, as you pointed out, but you also have all of it being eaten up by the staffing pattern. So I, from my point of view, one of the issues that the Finance Committee needs to look at is the way we do work, and I mean the way we pay for the people, the work that does get paid for in the foundation, and what we invest in, because are we maximizing, for example, the volunteer power that you, you've pointed out is a dramatic part of, I mean, a much larger part of our operations than most nonprofits. And to that end, I think that we do need to look at the idea of funding projects in a way different than taking on salaries, new salaries, to do jobs that might be done in a granting framework, like a request for proposals. So putting money aside so that when we need to do some new initiative, it's not necessarily the case that we take on a salary long-term to do that before we really know how it works out. There are also issues I have with looking at, you know, overhead. And the, for example, you told us that for every $1 million that gets added to the budget, you generally speaking need an additional person in the National Finance Office to deal with the increased workload. So one of my questions is there ways where we can look at staffing patterns that adjust the revenue side, because, I mean, the expenditure side, because the better we can do that, the more efficiently we can use resources, the greater freedom we have to do more things. And I was curious what you thought about that.
Well, if I'm understanding you, like it or not, I believe that we're going to have to review our business model. I hate to say business model. I know folks.
That's the right word.
I hate to use that word. But we are going to have to review our business model and diversify our revenue sources and look at expense reductions that are meaningful in the sense that cutting expenses don't necessarily either save you a lot of money or increase your revenue. So there's some expense cuts that make sense and some that do not. The way I think about it is that generally you want to have on the expense side a revenue-producing positions or investments, whether it be that bring back a return. I hate to be that way about it, but and then there are mission-related expenses. And that's a prioritization process and a discussion I think that the board and the finance committee before the board needs to have. What are, if we were to look at expense reduction, what are our priorities going to be? What are the values that will infuse those projected reductions? And look at the model that we have as an individual member and a freestanding organization. I believe we need to expand our notion of that model to include other organizations and community involvements that will provide a buffer to us. Standalone is tough these days when you're seeing yourself as a standalone organization. But if you see yourself as embedded in a community with contacts, with affiliations, I've seen that work. I've seen that provide dividends and supports to organizations like ours. Anyway, we need to expand our notion of who our stakeholders are, which is a quick way of saying it. And that fits with, you know, where we need to go, I think, anyway. Anyway, sorry to be so go on, but I think that you folks have got the smarts in this committee to really have that discussion and bring it to the Pacifica community so that folks can see what are our options. You know, what are our options at Pacifica?
Lonnie?
Yeah.
This is Sandy, if I could, please. And I don't want to editorialize, and I don't want to make any personal comments in terms of, you know, who's around us and why things are going like they are. But KPFT is a microcosm of what's been happening in the network. We've struggled the last 3 years in terms of listenership, as you pointed out. We've dropped 40% of our listenership. Even with this, we've had three record-breaking fund drives. three that have fallen short, just the same three record-breaking fund drives, the last three. We are targeted at our traditional audience. In fact, a lot of the literature that went around over the course of the management change three years ago was a schedule from 1986. This was the ideal. This was held up as the target. The listener base in 1986 is half of what we have remaining, around a 50,000 or less cum. I think there's some thinking that needs to be done, as you said, about who we are, who we're appealing to. The way to make money, or the way to generate money, through third party schemes would only be secondary to what we do best, which is great radio and building an audience that appreciates the radio and gives the money to keep the foundation moving forward. We're failing to do so at this point. And this is where the eyes have to open. And that's where the thinking has to come in. Bake sales are great. Donating your used car is great. There are ways to make money outside the signal. But it is the signal that makes the money. And some statement outside this committee has to be made, expressed to management, expressed to the other folks on the local station boards about truly what's going on here. And the interests that the folks that came flocking back to participate and run the network, great. But this is no longer 1986 or 1968 or any year in between. We are where we are. Somebody's got to open their eyes and realize this and make some programming that makes sense for today and build an audience that's more diversified than, as you pointed out, is one that's aging and narrowing.
I heard somebody...
Yeah, Marnie said I'd like to get on the staff.
Okay, Marnie, and then I have something.
This is just on expenses, and Lonnie, I'm sure that it's something you've thought about, but is it possible that for fiscal 06 we could plan that people who get health insurance do have to pay a little bit?
You hate to think about it because with jobs what we have, a lot of low-paying positions, the benefits are the way people make ends meet. Yes, but I think that it's inevitable that we have to at least look at it as a way of, on the station or network level. Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out at this point because, times will get tougher with the administration that we have in Washington. FCC and other issues will impact us, and we need a legal reserve alone in order to be able to defend ourselves, which we don't have, right? That's lots of needs, and, we need to thunk on it real powerful hard, because we don't have enough arrows in our quiver right now.
I'd like to comment on what Sandy said. Sandy, you said KPFT is a microcosm of what's happening around the network, and I don't think we should extrapolate that quickly or easily because, for example, the experience at KPFK is very different than what you've described. Growing membership, we were at 14,000 subscribers at the change in administration. We're now over 24,000, historic
mm-hmm.
high. 20% increases in listenership, and we've doubled our fundraising. So I'm not sure that the experience at KPFT is representative of the whole network.
Well, I was only commenting about the opinion about toward the aging population.
Well, but that's also not happening.
Okay, I withdraw that part of it. I should correct it.
Okay. Well, the reason I raised it is because one of the things that I've watched happening for a long time is that. You know what they say about data, or statistics, is lies, damn lies, and statistics. And
Mark Twain.
Actually, Disraeli. It's attributed to Twain frequently, but I believe it was Benjamin Disraeli. But anyhow, that's...
I have to debate that later.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. But the point is that people, and I'm as prone to it as anybody, you tend to look at the things that support the argument, and I think that... we really do need to take in the full situation at all the stations and looking at it. That said, you know, this brings up a really big question, which is we're the finance committee, and some of the things you've talked about really are issues of the programming committee. So when we as the finance committee consider how we deal with things, I think we have to hold on just a moment. I'm hoping this is Mark. I'll yield the floor to whoever would like to speak next.
Anyone have a question?
What I think I will mention is
this
I will
is Patty.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. This is Patty. I'm sorry, I was muted. I didn't know if I was muted or not muted. But I'm unmuted now?
Yep, we're
unmuted.
Okay, well, considering what Alani was saying, that we have union contracts up in WBAI and other stations, I think you said, the LSB did pass a motion on November 30th on whereas the general manager has announced his intention to resign, be it resolved, the LSB recommends that all union contracts being negotiated must be approved by the PNB after recommendation is provided by the WBAI LSB. And we pass this in hopes that, you know, that we can try to get a handle on at least some of the finances, and the union contracts are, you know, not going to, that they should be examined by a larger body, so we can just make sure that they're, you know, good contracts for the foundation as well as the workers.
Okay, we can continue to have a philosophical discussion, but maybe we should get down into the numbers right now and take a look at what's happening. Specifically, in the expenditure side, the last fund drive was back in October. So the question is, what's been going on in terms of the way we've been spending money, and does it match what's budgeted? Have people had an opportunity to look at the income statements and balance sheets?
I've got them in front of me, but I tell you, Dave, I guess I'm a new member of the committee, but I would like a little time to digest that before we started having that level of discussion.
Well, that's for members that have been on the committee, we have done that regularly when we've had the data, and in fact,
and I appreciate you sent me the data today,
right.
And I thank you very much.
We've actually not reviewed any budget numbers, I think, for over 2 months now. So if anybody else on the committee has had the opportunity to go over these numbers and has specific comments or questions, now would be the time to deal with them.
Well, we'll be able to do this the next meeting, too, don't you think?
Yes,
right.
We do this regularly.
Okay. So we're talking about for the period end of December, and we're looking at the first quarter, October, November, December?
Yes.
Well, I will say that I have looked in detail at KPFA. I have not looked in detail at the others.
And are there specific comments or questions you have for Lonnie about what you've seen in the budget?
Basically spoke to them. We've got serious problems with revenue being off, and hopefully we'll pick up on that over the next few months, hopefully. And expenses are higher, particularly in the salary line item and things like that. And I know that, as he said, he's been talking with the GM, and they're going to have to make some hard decisions and do some cuts without cutting muscle.
Could you talk, Lonnie, a little bit about when you do cuts like when they're talking about cuts at KPFA, how is that done given the union contract, and how much of the workforce is non-unionized?
How is the question? Well, the way it actually goes, those quarterly are published. So to the GM and the business manager, identify I still hear paper rustling. Someone's got paper.
Yeah, if you're rustling paper, six mutes you. Thanks.
What we did at KPFA, we identified the variances that were most troublesome. Some of them were just seasonal and were not an issue, and we identified those first. The second one is we looked at which variances are most troublesome, as I said, and for KPFA it was in the area of listener support, down in the first quarter by $106,000. And on projection revenue, because, mainly because of projected numbers in the major donor area, would be off on projection. Of course, projections can be changed. Projections are a warning, not a prediction. Be off by $200,000. So we first develop a revenue strategy. That is to say, what's done? Can the listener support be increased? Is that number around major donations real? So you had people in the room. You had the department heads at KPFA sat down around the question of whether the listener support number could be raised. Their conclusion was a little bit, but not much, because you'd be out 20, 23 days, and that could be counterproductive for future drives. So, but there was an agreement that they could get to a million in the next drive, this drive coming up here, but not to a million 60,000. So that's how that was resolved. If they get above the million, everyone's happy. And, then we went to a major donor, talked with Lim about whether or not she could reach a major donor goal of $300,000. She and I are meeting next week to review the proposition to see if that's doable. If it's not, we look at other strategies. Anyway, that's the revenue side. Then we looked at the expense and the salary side and identified areas of perhaps $30,000 in the salary side. Came away with a figure of around $30,000. Looked at the administrative expense and premium charges, looking for ways to save money there. And then we noticed that office expenses. Now, the routine stuff, you look at those variances, you say, why is that number high? What can be done about it? Can you bring yourself in some other areas? And we went on to development and then went down to cash and capital, where we identified a budget item of $150,000 for capital improvements. Said, well, maybe we have a donor that will put up $50,000. So saving that money, at least pushing it over to next fiscal.
Yeah. Hang on just a second. Could have you ever shuffling paper mute yourself with star six? Great. Thanks.
And the bottom line in all of this is every station, I'm insisting, present a balanced budget, that is to say, with that 1 month operating. Excuse me, my phone is ringing. Excuse me, just 1 second.
This is Lauren. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just a couple of questions, Lonnie, or are you through talking? Just a couple of questions on KPFA.
Lonnie's off the call for a second.
Oh, I couldn't understand if that was whose voice that was.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I'm back on.
Okay,
so LaVon and then Mike, and then maybe Lonnie can respond to LaVon's question.
Yeah, just a quick question, Lonnie. On your your forecast, though, on the listener support, you have like a positive variance of 106,000. So that's a makeup, or is that like... did not calculate correctly. You haven't. Isn't this? Wait a minute. Yeah, this is 2005. Yeah, you have a positive variance of 100,000. So we said something where.
I have a negative variance on my spreadsheet here. The budget was $1,058,000. The actual was only 9.
No. Oh, full year. You have a forecast in there.
Yeah.
For the full year.
Yeah,
you have $2,550,000 as a forecast and $2,443,000 as the budget.
Yeah. Over the next 9 months,
you're going to make it. Okay, so that was okay. I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing is that you talked about the salaries. And you talked about how you looked at variances. I think that it seems like that exercise that you had gone through is exactly the exercise that we have asked for. So probably you really don't have to do any additional work for KPFA. But the other point I wanted to make is that on the salary again, like I'm just trying to understand how you could really determine what the with a variance in the number of people or their salary rate, you know, is it volume versus rate in terms of the variance? And that's what, again, that, you know, in order for us to help you and look at that and determine, you know, like where you're going there, that's, again, where we need to see what the headcount is, what their rates are, so we can determine what the real variance is and how you can address that and how we can help you with that. And the... other thing, just you know, again, you talked about how you've done this cash projection. the question I have is that, are you still going to try to look at this year to get a cash forecast methodology or a little package that would be standard versus what you're doing there, and if you've had a chance to look at that again?
Oh, you mean for the network or for the station?
Well, for each one.
Yeah, on the stations, I do have a little format on cash flow projections for them.
Right. I mean, I ask, are you going to try to look at some standard software that would give you a cash flow projection that would be standard accounting practice versus the way you have it structured here in order for you to kind of look at where you are in terms of the bank account?
Well, the cash flow format, the cash and capital budget that you see there,
mm-hmm.
right, as you know, is a special request of the Finance Committee. I didn't think much of it, but I'm assuming that if the Finance Committee wants to, you know, eliminate that report, we can talk about
it. No, we're not talking about eliminating. We're talking about making it standard. But I think that KPFA always did a little analysis at the bottom because you need to know where you are. I mean, with cash flowing in, you always need to know where you are with your bank statement.
Yeah,
so that's what it kind of like. It does that.
Each station does do a cash flow projection. As
mm-hmm.
you know, Lois does one. And so does Indra at WBAI.
Mm-hmm.
I think I sent one of them out at the last Finance Committee meeting showing you how they do it. I think Markeisha
does them at T. I know she does because I've seen them.
Yeah, so most of the people seem to be doing them. And I use, what they do, though, is they wait for the bank statement because they can be sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and of course, you know, you're waiting for a bank statement. But they do them, and they usually bring them up at the Finance Committee here when I have them, because I wait for that bank statement, too, just so I know that those numbers are real. They are doing them. But, you know, it's so predictable in many ways with these stations on cash, because what happens is we know exactly how much they're going to spend per month with a 1% or 2% variance. And so if they have the money in, you know, the beginning of the month, then they'll be okay that month. But doing a future forecast, got a seasonality issue, as you know, I can see where some stations are going to run out of money in the third or second or two and a half or third month because the period of vulnerability where cash flow projections really matter is that period after the spring drive through October 30th, fully 4 or 5 months. That's when cash flow projections can tell you you have a real problem because that's when income in the network is lowest. So the cash flow projections in the beginning of the fiscal look pretty good. You know, everybody's got their drive going, the money's looking good. But what is the crucible is what are the cash going to be after the end of that April, May drive to September, October 30th. So that's when I start to really pay attention to cash flow, really do the projections, really pay real, really question any assumptions that folks are making in those cash flow statements. Anyway, sorry.
Mike, did that respond? That was LaVarne's point. Did you get your point in?
No, my point, just a quick question about the national office variance, which is a positive one. And I was wondering exactly how. It seems like the national office is an apple and the rest of us are oranges. Is that does that make sense to you, Lonnie?
Well, yeah, and here's why. What I find is a real challenge in this job is that my income, you know, $2.3 million in the form of essential services, is really not 12 months but 11 months because I only get those essential services 30 days or so after you folks finish your drive. So I'm having to find cash to pay my bills in a month in which I have no income. So we have an enormous cash flow issue that you folks don't have exactly at the...
So how are you at a positive variance? I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at.
As we do the aforementioned mail drops.
Okay, so the folios that you're doing are making up are a basis for your positive variance.
We like last year we mailed out 500,000 individual mail pieces, and that's how we're making up that gap. Remember, where our budget is $250,000 a month. So we start the year because we're not getting paid the 30 days after we always have that float of $250,000. So we have to do mail drops to have that cash up front available to float while we wait for, to get paid from you folks. That's what, factor number one. The other way we're making it up and get a positive variance this year is that last year we started the year with $1 million in legal bills. This year it's only $300,000, so the demands on our cash are less than they were last year, allowing us to build.
Lonnie, isn't it the case that that was in the budget projection? So that was incorporated into, when we talk about variances, we're talking about difference from what was expected, and that was expected.
No, it's a difference in cash. Budget true is about, you know, when you're going to get what your balance is going to be. But cash is different. That if, how can I explain? It's like if you have to have your car payment 2 months in advance as opposed to having your car payment 1 month in advance. That's the difference. On paper, it's the same number, the same payment every month. But it's not the same in cash when you change the timing of those cash payments. And that's what happened. Before last year, we had to have all these legal bills in advance, way before the stations actually paid us. Because, some of the legal bills were due the first of the month. You folks don't pay us to the last of the month, yada, yada, yada. Without that dynamic this year, then we pick up that cash just as though it was a windfall, float in banking and in finance. So this year, without having to pay all those legal bills up front, irrespective of our cash, those legal bills aren't there in the number, in the amount that they were last year. So we actually have benefited from not having to produce all that legal bill cash up front while waiting to get paid for it.
Bonnie, can I get you to comment on WBAI? I lost my connection, so I hope I didn't miss anything you said about WBAI.
Oh, yeah. Well, here we go, folks, on WBAI.
This is Lauren. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had it on mute for a while. Can I just ask another question about national office before we move to BAI?
Yeah.
Lonnie, can you just tell us, on the gross salaries, you're for for the quarter, you're off, looks like $48,000. So is that due to, is it due to, the salary rate in terms of the salaries that you plan for, the salaries, or is it due to, additional people, or, I know some of the positions still aren't filled, like national, the PD and program and director, or program and, what caused that variance of almost $50,000?
I'm not seeing a variance of $50,000. Where are you reading?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at, is that year-to-date? Current year-to-date budget, Pacifica National Office. I have, maybe the sheet I have is that it is 193 and the budget was 145 and a variance of $48,000. Is that wrong? I mean, that's just on gross salaries. That doesn't include.
Say what page? What page?
Okay, it's on page 25 of 32.
In which document?
It's the Pacifica Income Statement, December 2004.
Now, I've got a budget in gross salaries. Is that what you're reading from, Lamar?
I'm looking
year to
at
date.
Year to date.
Yeah, year to date.
Yeah.
Budget $301,180.
All right, this is through December, and I have I have 100. This sheet has $193,460. And the budget of 145 and a negative variance of $48,000. Is that not correct?
Gross salaries?
Look at the same thing, Lonnie.
Gross salaries.
Mm-hmm. Right. So page 25.
Page 25.
Well, I don't have that here. I've got for 3 months the YTD 2005 December line 662. I guess you don't have lines though.
No, we have that PDF document that you sent out.
Yeah, and it would be helpful to get the Excel files.
It really would, because it's hard to,
Okay, I don't have it. I have on the gross salary line of variance YTD, that is first quarter, of only $5,800, and then...
If we're looking at sheets that we have different numbers from you, then this is like this exercise. It's not working.
More than surprised. I mean, do you have November? Or maybe we have a different sheet. Let me
My numbers correspond with LeBaron's.
Yeah. Let me see. What
on the year to date? Yeah, I'm seeing on year to date actual. This is the national office gross salaries.
Right.
So the December variance is positive, but the year to date is negative by 33%.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, year to date. Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the current is a. Yeah, what column? Can you? You don't have a column, do you?
Yeah, one, well, two, three, four, five, six, seven. It'll be about G or H.
Okay. Yeah, for the 9 month period, is that?
No, 3 months for the quarter.
The column is year to date actual variance for December is shown, given dollars and percents, and then the year to date actual. So that's for the 3 months looking backwards, and that is a variant. That's for. October, November, December. So the year-to-date actual on gross salaries was 193. The year-to-date budgeted was 145.
I'll tell you what, let me pull up that spreadsheet and see what that difference is. Okay, then that's, meanwhile, let's move on while I do that.
Okay, so those Baruti, three questions are on that, and plus the insurance expense, if you could explain that.
Sure.
And
insurance expense is a nightmare. Workers' comp. We do the budgets. April, May, we don't know what the increases will be in a number of our insurance packages. They're negotiated, as some of you might know. And many times, given the fact we're dealing with five different states on insurance for workers' comp, that is, it's difficult to predict. So our expenses do go up. Our budgets are off. And this case, we're going to have to readjust and find that money to pay those increased insurance costs.
Okay, and that's paid out of National?
Yeah.
Okay, and so then the other is the other programming and the salaries, if you could explain, like,
hey,
on the salaries.
LaVarne, before we leave insurance, if I could, Lonnie, were you referring just to comp, or were you referring to health as well?
All of them. They all are a nightmare. They all.
Isn't the health really where the cost impact is the greatest?
Well, workers' comp in California, unlike Texas, Mike, is hugely expensive. Other states are a lot cheaper. But California, workers' comp costs are out of control. They're out of control. Big political issue here as well.
Okay. But insurance has got to be, health insurance has got to be a big deal here. Because I see it going up everywhere.
Everywhere. Kaiser here, 22% increase last year.
That's not unreasonable for what's going on in the country, though.
Yeah, that's about where it's going, how it's going everywhere.
For group plans, that's about right.
Yeah. Have we looked at the option of the new kind of health accounts that lets us set up some private health accounts to cover deductibles and...
Medical savings account.
The medical savings account. Have you looked into that?
What we are doing is funny you should bring it up, is we're trying to institute a 125 plan. It's similar to what you're suggesting, where people can deduct pre-tax those premiums, especially any out-of-pocket expenses that they might have, unreimbursed medical. Yes, we actually have a plan that we're trying to bring online, but not right now. It applies to our management folks. The unions have their own plan. And that will reduce costs. If you notice, too, in the overall benefit area, that despite those rising costs, what you'll see there is we're going to underspend in that line because we have found a cheaper carrier that we found beginning October 1st, so we'll save money in that area because of the...
I'm sorry, LaVarne, go ahead.
Lonnie's just going to speak to the salaries and... Did you found the year to date, the first quarter, Lonnie? Did you find it? Can you just kind of like give an explanation of why it's 48,000 percent?
Let me see what my best guess is.
No, don't give me your best guess. Tell me what it is.
For it, I'm looking for it, and see what I got here. Maybe we're reading the same thing. Maybe we're not. Okay, what? If anybody close to the computer, send me what you have, then it'll be easier for me.
Sure, I'll send you the PDF right now.
Why don't you do that? That'll make it easier. Okay. Meantime, anything else that I can address before my voice gives out here?
Yeah. Why don't you respond to Baruti about BAI?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Baruti. Oh, yeah. Wow.
And before you do that, if I just could make a small request, Lonnie, I don't have a color printer, so these negative variances they're difficult to read, you know, when you're printing them on a black and white printer.
Yeah, I hear you.
So if they could just be formatted to be bracketed and not red and bracketed, because the reds are really tough to read.
Oh, the brackets. Oh, bro, that's not what. I'll do my best, but what I think I could do is I think they show up in color on the website.
Okay, but you know, just when I print them out, if you don't have a color printer.
Oh, yeah, that's.
Then it's a little bit of a problem. But let's get into the meat of that's just a minor cosmetic thing.
Okay, and you should have that document now, Lonnie. I sent that, but anyhow.
I'm looking for it right now. Let's see if I add. WBAI. I'm pulling up the document. WBAI. I'll probably be
real. We're on 17 of, 17, start at page 17 of 32.
Or WBAI, or?
Yeah, that's what WBAI starts. On the PDF file, page 17 of 32.
Yeah, let me go down to that page. Got here. WBAI, as you know, has a negative variance projected. And we're...
What are you reading from? You're reading that from...
I'm in listener's report, they had a budget of 126. You know, that left column.
Right. Okay. For the month of December, yes, I see it.
Remember, they only brought in 91,000, so right away they got a negative variance of 34,000 there. And then when you look at the current, that is to say, the quarterly results, they had a budget where they're supposed to bring in 758,000. They brought in only 690,000. And therefore, a negative variance of $68,000. There's that $70,000 that keeps popping up.
Yep.
And
but now, just as a footnote to that, you're projecting for the year, though, that we come up on the positive side.
Yeah, that would be true for listener support, given what some of their plans are on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look down at total income, that variance would be $79,000. So that $70,000 keeps popping up one way or another.
Could you clarify something you just said? You said that the projection is based on expectations of their ability to make things up as the year goes forward?
Yeah, you see, the way they budgeted it, as I was mentioning earlier, each station budgeted out seasonally. That is to say, the budget for each month is not the same for any given line item. They budget more in, you know, around January when drive starts than they do in March when there's no drive. So given their plans and goals, for that next nine-month period. That's not unusual, Dave. If you look at the pattern for most stations, sometimes they'll start the quarter with a negative variance, but they make it up further in the year because many stations figure they'll have time to, they have deliberately planned to give themselves six, put a given program in place or a given goal in place or a given fund drive in place. Oh, off-air fund drive.
But isn't that incorporated into the, I mean, when we look at the monthlies on the year, I mean, don't you do the projection by I guess what I'm wondering is, so do you have another set where you've got, rather than them spread more evenly across the year, you just take them in aggregate, like what was supposed to be made in this quarter on this drive versus that drive versus the next drive? Or, I mean, what I heard you saying was that you were expecting that things like outside fundraising is going to make up for a shortfall that was in the listener support line. And that doesn't sound as though it's something that's resolved by, timing issues.
Well, if I'm under... WBI.
Am I making sense to other people, or am I off what I'm saying? Do the other people get my meaning?
Wouldn't mind if you repeated it.
What I was saying was, so what Lonnie is just saying had to do with a timing issue of when you expect money to hit versus when it may actually hit. And what I heard him say was that shortfalls in the listener support line are likely to be made up due to other fundraising plans. So that still works. So it sounds to me that that's a mid-year adjustment of a projection of those other lines, not a timing issue on the when listener support is hitting.
Oh well, no. What I was intending to say was that the AI, in terms of its listener support goals, had goals in the first for the first drive that are lower than the goals that are going to be for drive two and three. So, in drives two and three, the shortfall that you see there, first quarter, 34,000, will be made up in the next two drives, that is over the next 9 months, and they'll end the year with a $3,800 negative variance for listener support. However, the other area where they had a fairly large number was they're looking to get 200,000 in major donations. And that is not looking like it's going to materialize, and no one there can say to me that we're going to make that goal. So it has a huge negative variance of 144,000, is what you'll see there. So in the end, total income, taking all the variables into consideration, they'll end up with $79,000 negative variance on the income side.
Can I make two comments, Len?
Yeah.
I think in speaking to Indra with that major donor item, trying to follow it across here, part of it might be a posting issue.
Okay.
There's a line there, major donor income in the actual, your projected out actual of 254, 238, which there's no budget for that particular item. But up above, there's a. It really should be on another line. It really should be on the second line, I think.
Yeah. That you're right. That could very well be a posting issue that she needs. She can correct that.
Can you tell me what lines you're on, Verity?
I'm sorry. There's a line that says major donor income, and if you go all the way to the
major
last
major donor and got it. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
If you go all the way over, you'll see that it's projected out to be $254,000.
Yep, got that.
And but there's no budget line there for that.
Oh, so budget 2005.
Right.
And actually, it's interesting, you're right, because it claims a 0% variance.
Right.
But there, I see what you're saying. I think that's shifted over one line.
Right. Yeah.
And that's true. That could be very well the case. You got 100,000. But see, she makes these entries.
Mm-hmm.
So she can correct it.
Correct it. Okay.
So she can
Overall, I agree with you that we're short 79,000, but on the... It looks like if you go down to page, and I know this is just a projection, but if you go down to page 20,
yeah,
we still have an excess of income over expenses.
Yes, before cash and capital. So if you go down, let's have a look.
Go down where now?
Page 20.
If you go down to it's a major subtotal. It says excess income bracket expenses.
Yep.
And you move all the way to the right to the same column, actual.
Actual or the annual total?
Actual under the annual, which is, I guess, basically the projection for the year.
And you have
287? The 287?
Right, 287,552.
Yeah.
That looks like you're still anticipating that we're going to come out ahead of the game.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point to bring up at this point, too. So what?
Wait, I don't understand that because the variance is a negative 128,000.
Yeah. Well, they need
because we're budgeted to have earnings of 416, so the earnings won't be what we thought they'd be, but they're not a deficit situation.
Yeah, that's good to clarify. That's a good point. That is to say, that is what the budget is, and that budget is generally 1 month's operating for that 13th month, between September 30th and October 30th. And when we say that there's a negative variance, in any case when we're talking these budgets, the negative variance does not mean a deficit. They will have a positive bottom line to that point of 287, but what they need for 1 month is 416. 416,000. So that's why you get 128,000 negative. However, with that said, go down below. What you also will see is that that 287, once you money in the capital area, goes down to 287 to 225, and that 416 goes down to 299 or 300,000. And so your variance negatively goes from the 128 to 73, and there's the same 73,000. So looking at it that way.
But that, and that doesn't include what you're expected to have in terms of the 1 month.
They 1 month. $1,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, we lost you for a second. Can
yeah,
you,
1 month.
I thought that did include. That's exactly what Lonnie said. It did include the 1 month.
Yeah, the 1 month expenses for them is around $299,000. They'll be short $73,000 from that 1 month in that period, September 30th to October 30th.
So not in a deficit, but in the terms of the 13th month, they're not they're in a deficit, if you want to look at it from that perspective.
That's right. They need to have that money in the bank in order to pay their staff and pay operating costs when they don't have any income, September 30th to October 30th. So
right. So basically, the reserve won't be where you want it to be, but we would still be in the black.
Important point to clarify, Rudy. Yes, that is exactly the case.
And that's exactly the same situation for KPFT.
Yeah, that's an important point to clarify, that what we're talking about these negative variances, it doesn't mean that there are deficits. It means that they are, I don't know, whatever number we're talking, 50 or 70,000 away from that 1 month, which is what we require each station to have. Because if they don't have that 1 month, then you're looking at payroll.
Okay, but then in terms of the budgeting process, my understanding is that there's a waiver required for the PNB to waive the requirement of maintaining a 1 month operating reserve.
That is exactly the case, and that's what I do. I go back to each station and say, you don't have your 1 month. And let's strategize around how we can get that done. That's what I'm doing right now. I've done it with KPFA. I've done it with KPFT. I'm doing KPFK over the weekend. You don't have the problem, but I still want to make sure that there aren't some expenses in the second half, like the union cost, that will we don't want that to overwhelm that surplus you're showing. And I will do it with WBAI as well.
W and K don't have the problem, but A, I, and T do. Is that fair?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. But even the ones that don't have it, Mike, I am always cautious because they do have you contracts. They don't know how much that costs them.
Plus, we're still talking in terms of projections, which in and of itself has got to have some speculation involved with it.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I include the actuals for both the month and the quarter. So you
right.
can compare those two. So you can see, you know, how far... what the differences might be. But, you know, in using WBAI as an example, on projection, they would be $73,000 away. But for the first quarter, they're $22,000 away. That is negative variance. And then for the quarter, $79,000. So it's pretty consistent, as you can see.
Actually, I don't understand that, because I remember when we looked last at it, we were basically 70,000 short as of this date.
No, that was $70,000 short on the revenue side. This is the bottom line side.
So they've cut expenses.
Yeah, yeah, they've tried to work with it. And
where have they cut?
Well, remember, you look at what their expenses are. Monthly expenses. You compare this year to last year. Let's just have a look. What are their monthly expenses compared to what it was last year? Remember, they were expending $306,000 a month last year. And so now you want to know, how much are they spending this year? Have they cut back their operating expenses this year? So what is our number?
Looks like it's mainly in Free Speech Radio News.
They cut back on, consultants. I do have a spreadsheet that compares last year to this year. But they've cut back. Look, if you look at their monthly expenses as they're rolling out this year compared to what they were last year, they were spending $300,000 a month almost every month. This year, they're spending like $250,000, $270,000, $280,000. So they've cut back $20,000 to $30,000 on their monthly expenses. And that is, you know, what they needed to do. It's not enough. But it's a start. Now,
this is Patty.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, do you have any idea what this is quite a bit of cut every month. Do you have any idea what is being cut, what isn't being paid, or what has been discontinued or something?
Yeah, two or three areas. One was telephone bill, you call last year. If you look at some of those bills, were $90,000, you know. Telephone bill's been cut way back. The consultants, remember last year, Patty, those big, huge consultant line item? This year, 6,000 in consultants.
What was the year, what was the consultant last year?
Around 125.
Yeah, it was like they put everything in the kitchen sink in there. They had.
Well, what was that?
There was a mistaken classification. In it. Instead of being real consultants, they had some people in there who were temporaries and hourlies, and inflating that number. And they also had higher number of consultants that were truly consultants. And they had people who came in doing the drives in there, and they had put those folks in the consultant line item. Once that all got shaken out and people were classified as they should have been, and they got rid of something like 15 or 20,000 in consultants, we see that that line item settles down, and they've only got 5 or 6,000 in consultants so far this fiscal. So that's been a source of savings for them.
A little information there. These consultants that used to be in the consultant column have now been moved into salaries and related, which is another, and we don't really know who's become a permanent person or if they're temporary or if they're a freelance person or anything. This is, $80,000, $90,000 in monies paid into sort of unknown territory as to where these people stand as far as their status as an employee. Is that something that will show up when we get these headcount things?
Well, when you look at that happened last year. You said, where do these people go? But when you look at the numbers, and they're here, you say, well, if they moved into salaries, that means it's going to push them over budget in salaries. But they're not substantially over budget in the salary area. They're sort of maintaining the line there. In December, the budget was $124,000 in salaries. They spent $133,000 off negatively $8,000. But YTD, they're not off that much. Their budget for the first quarter was $394,000, salaries and related. They spent $388,000, so they're off $4,000. So they're doing a fairly good job of holding the line on salaries. So it's not... And they're not overspending, hugely in the salary line item. And you say, well, could it be in programming? So you look down the line. Where are those folks if they're being hidden? Where are they? It would show up as being way over budget in those various areas. And it's just, not.
Well, Lonnie, as I'm looking at the expenses, I'm noticing in the administrative expenses column, for example, there's a lot of gain backs there. For example, $400 budgeted for postage, none spent. $500 for conferences, none spent. The two that are curious to me are the office rental and the tower rent. And those are listed as zeros, but budget was $23,000 and $21,000 respectively. So that's $44,000 budgeted for the month with nothing spent on it.
That's an error. Can I speak to that, David?
Yeah, please.
What happened was, I don't know if any of the committee members remember, last month we were over budget by a very large amount.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that the 3 months had been posted against the two-month budget.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, there was no posting had to be done this month because the expense was already reflected in there.
So as I look over to the right there, I see the year-to-date is just a difference of $2,000.
Yeah, they caught up.
If we really want to make a sense of where things are happening, we need to be looking at the year-to-date column.
Yeah, because they're...
Year-to-date actual.
Year-to-date actual. Yeah, because sometimes strange things happen in a month.
Yeah, but one of the things I'm noticing is huge over on bank charges.
Yeah.
Significant. Let's see, where else is there anything big? Well, programming services is over by 924%.
Where's the bank charges line you're talking about, David?
It's in administrative expenses.
Page 18.
Yeah, page 18 of 22. It's about, bank charges. It's about the eighth item down under administrative expenses. But so I'm just hunting for where...
$8,276 or $78, something like that.
bond or bank charges. No, it's...
Year-to-date actual, 8,278, is that what that number is?
No, it's 22,819.
Age 18.
18 of, I don't know.
32.
Maybe I don't have the right report.
You have it.